Well, friends, good morning again, and welcome to this special Sunday. It's special on numerous occasions that we get to honor our Stephens ministers and the beautiful work that they do here, and our new Stephens ministers, as well as engage in our Confirmation Sunday this morning. So this year, we have the joy of presenting and celebrating our graduating confirmation students and all who participated in Sunday's discipleship program that we started in January. So this is a great day. Let me begin with some prayer. And Heavenly Father, I thank you for the joy of community and that this is a gift that you gave us from your Holy Spirit. We don't walk this road of faith alone at all, but we are meant to do so together, learning and growing with one another and just experiencing what your Spirit has for us, not just individually, but as a community. And it is such a gift. So this morning, Father, we pray as a blessing over these students and all that will be said and spoken here. Lord, may your Spirit rest on them, and to you be all glory. Amen. So, friends, these students who are going to be presenting pretty soon have intentionally been placing themselves in a posture of learning and growing and asking and seeking and responding to God through our discipleship program that we begin in January each year. And what is more, Larry Larson has once again been our faithful teammate and partner in this journey. Absolutely. For 18 years. So I just want, we're going to have time to honor Larry as well today. And Larry and I are so proud of the way that each of you students, how you showed up and asked honest questions and wrestled with really big ideas. And you didn't settle for easy answers. We are proud of the way that they listened to one another and laughed with one another, prayed for each other, encouraged one another, and took seriously the invitation to grow deeper in their faith. Friends, they are. The Lord is doing something really remarkable in Pine Lake Youth right now, and the Holy Spirit is moving in their hearts in beautiful ways. They are seeking Jesus, and they're seeking after him for his glory and seeking to obey him and follow him, and we are so proud. And it is a gift to come alongside these teens. We are especially proud of the copious amounts of air-fried food that they consumed every Sunday in our air fryer of taquitos and dino nuggets and frozen waffles and sometimes all together. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And one of our students, Kai, asked me at one point, do you think we could have anything healthier to eat? And I'm like, I wish, but I'm stopping at QFC and headed to church. It's taquitos for everybody. This year, like last year, our program has kind of different layers to it. Yes, this is our beginning team, and of course more were added along the way. But the discipleship group is it's a twofold track where one can commit to a confirmation track where there is a higher commitment, attendance and a workbook and a deeper mentoring that happens in that. At the same time, the boathouse and the class is open every Sunday for whoever would like to come and participate. So we have a couple tracks going at the same time. And so even if a couple students showed up once or twice, it was so important for us because every single moment of conversation helped form us together in our faith journey as a whole. And the students this year who chose to step into the more formal confirmation track today is Grace Adney and Duncan Calvary. Let's give them a hand. Yeah! And we will be also honoring them at the end of our time together. This year, friends, that we walked through a workbook called Experiencing God. Does anybody my age and up remember Experiencing God? Okay. So I was so deeply formed by this workbook when I was a teenager that I'm like, we got to do this. And I found it. I'm like, this is so outdated. Yikes. And then lo and behold, the person Blackaby, his grandsons ended up making this student edition with video. And so we have been walking through this, and I will not speak too much more about that because the students are going to give you that whole presentation of Experiencing God. This year in the boathouse, we also studied church history. It was fun. And denominations. And we covered about 2,000 years. I think that's our next slide. And about three Oh, that's six degrees in God. Yep, one. The next one. Okay, we covered about 2,000 years of church history in three Sundays. So we might have missed some pieces. But this was the first 1,000 years. So hopefully, yeah, that makes sense to you. But it worked for us. Friends, we studied the place where the church has been brave and faithful. As Tertullian said, the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. And we talked about, you can do a blank slide because now you're all trying to figure out what I'm doing. all right, so we saw the bravery of the church and just understanding that we are part of a larger story that we come into in a community of faith. And the seed of the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church, and we studied that for a while, that the powers that be believed that persecution would kill the gospel. And instead, it just spread like wildfire, and Christians would meet their death and their suffering daily, standing and saying, you know, they said, recant. They said, we can't recant. Because we can't help but proclaim that Jesus has risen from the dead and he is the resurrected King and Lord of life. Amen. And so we stand here today because of our faithful witnesses from the past. And we also studied church history honestly, examining the places where the church has been deeply wrong. And Pine Lake students had some deep conversations in the boathouse about what happens when the way of Jesus gets confused with the way of domination. What happens when the church reaches for control instead of a towel and a basin? And when the cross is used like a flag of conquest instead of the sacrifice of God? And when political power and wealth and empire try to wear the name of Christ while forgetting the wounds of Christ? And we talked a lot about this. In this, we learn to inherit the whole story of faith with wisdom and care and grieve and repent where harm has been done in Jesus' name, and then ask the Holy Spirit to make us continually faithful witnesses. So hard, good conversations. Also, we studied covenant affirmations a little bit, but by now we're in like week 20, so we got a little tired. But we learned about who we are as a particular family of God in the Evangelical Covenant Church and what it means to be evangelical and what it means to be covenant for a couple sessions. So, and then finally, we concluded this year with a retreat for those who could come, who were able to make it this weekend. Just now, we are back from Suncadia, and we experienced the amazing hospitality of Brad and Leanne Crane, who send their love to you today. Friends, we immersed ourselves in scripture, spiritual imagination practices, praying together, praying for one another, quiet time alone with the Lord. It was really windy. I don't know if you can catch that, but we're like barely can be seen in this picture. And then we wrapped it up last night with a dinner celebration, honoring the faithfulness of parents and mentors. Because the church's role, again, is to come alongside families and parents and guardians and surround these students together with a wider community as we help each other learn to find and follow Jesus together. So, confirmation is not a graduation from faith. There, check the box, you're done. No, it is a doorway where these students now stand before their church community and their parents and guardians and friends and say, I am seeking Jesus, and I am learning to recognize the voice and movement of God, and I am choosing to continue to walk this road. So, without telling you more about this, our students are going to show you. They are going to lead us in the seven realities of experiencing God through a pathway presentation. And so now, with great joy and gratitude, I invite our students to lead us.
Oh, shoot. I forgot to do my homework and study for my test. Oh, a new video just posted. I can definitely watch that first. You were here the whole time?
Yeah, the whole time. In reality one, we learned that God is always at work around us. Even when we can't see him, understand him, or feel him, God is still moving. In the Bible, Jacob said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. He said this after he had a dream where God spoke to him while he was traveling alone. And when he woke up, he realized that God had been with him the whole time, even when he didn't notice. Sometimes we get so distracted, stressed, or focused on ourselves that we miss out what God is already doing around us. God works through people, conversations, challenges, and opportunities. And sometimes his plans are bigger than what we have and can see. Even when life feels confusing or ordinary, just know that God is still present and active. The question is whether or not if God is there. It's whether if we're able to notice and see him working.
So good.
Like one time, I was so distracted by like things that were like YouTube or shopping or other things like that, that I didn't get my homework done. And I was stressed, like, if the teacher was going to mark it missing, if I was ever going to get it done, because I have lots of things. And I forgot one time to study for a test, and it was a science test, which I'm not the best at those. But I prayed to God, and I felt him comforting me, and I got a good grade on it. But the thing is, if you're stressed, worried, pain, or have other things that's going on, God is always with you.
Oh my gosh, I'm so bored. I've had a terrible day. I wish I just had someone to talk to.
Don't feel alone. I'm here. God is always here with us, guiding us through every challenge and reminding us that we are never alone and we walk with him.
Thank you so much for being here with me today. I really needed someone to talk to.
God's love is here for us, even if we are alone or struggling.
Thank you. Reality 2, God pursues a continuing love relationship with you that is real and personal. Being in a relationship with God means knowing that you are never alone. Sometimes life feels overwhelming, and we carry burdens that seem too heavy, but God is always there to help us get through them.
In Revelations 3, verse 20, God says, "Here I am, I stand at the door and knock." That reminds us that God is always reaching out to us and wants a relationship with us. Even when bad things happen, not even sin or death can separate God's love from us.
Sin may blind us and make it harder to find him on our own, but God never stops searching for us. Our relationship with God involves trusting him, knowing he supports you through struggles, and remembering that you guys are never alone.
God doesn't expect us to be perfect before coming to him. He meets us where we are. Whether we're struggling, afraid, stressed, or uncertain about the future, through prayer, faith, and spending time with him, we grow closer to God and begin to understand his plan for our lives.
We all face pressure, challenges, and moments where we feel lost. But God calls us to rely on him instead of bearing everything alone. A relationship with God provides hope, peace, and strength, knowing his love never fails. We learn faith is not just knowing about God, but knowing him, walking with him, and enjoying him. We begin to understand that God was not distant. We are not the only ones needing to pursue a relationship with God. It works both ways. Thank you.
Oh yeah, I see you're building a boat as well.
Yeah, it's pretty difficult to make over here, just this little thing.
Oh, yeah, I bet. Do you want to come and join me and build this ark with me? I can't do it alone.
Yeah, sure. How many rooms do we need?
About 7 million.
Oh, yeah, for some animals?
Oh, yeah, a few of them.
Oh, okay.
Here, take my hammer.
Okay, we can work on it together now.
Okay, cool.
This was Reality 3. God invites us to join him in what he has to do.
We learn that God invites ordinary people to join him in what he's already doing, and then we begin to realize God was inviting you to join him.
So I feel that how I have been invited by God to join in his work is both in this confirmation class, where I've learned much more about him and how to help, and the mission trips that I have gone on and one that is coming up. For me, this has looked like learning more about him and how to work on what he has planned and getting more invested in joining what he does. As well as this differs from me asking him to come join me, where I can help him in the plans that he has for everything, whereas as opposed to me asking him to help in just things that I want.
God has invited me to join him in his work at places like confirmation, mission trips, Christian camps, and anywhere I feel the presence of the Lord. And when I do, it gives me a feeling that makes me feel like I can help anyone and really want to join God in his work. And it's looked like this in my life by wanting to continue confirmation, do more mission trips, and begin to serve at Christian camps. It's different than me telling God to come do what I want to do, because it's him who gives me the power, motivation, and the feeling in the first place.
Hey, you doing all right? Do you need someone to pray for you? Amen.
Reality 4. God speaks to us in many, many ways. First, Holy Spirit, because the veil was torn so he can be in us always. Through circumstance, because when you're with God, nothing is a coincidence. Through music, and he shows himself through his lyrics and the emotions that we experience when we sing his praises. Through community, where he speaks through other people around you and while you're serving. And and prayer, because when we speak to him and seek answers, he never fails to deliver them. And through his word, when we open our books to learn, to feel changed, or to feel close, he always has something to say to you, even if it's not relevant in the moment.
The other day, when I was with my mom, we were overwhelmed and stressed out. After an appointment, my mom and I were sitting down, and I felt this overwhelming mission grow in me. Get mom coffee. With the thought in mind that if I pay for this, I won't be able to afford something else I had planned, pizza. I went to Starbucks and ordered a grande iced mocha with light ice. When I went to pay, I came to an obstacle. The barista said they don't take cash. I told her never mind and felt defeated, but this is when the story becomes heartwarming. The barista paid for the coffee. Pizza later. So what I'd like you to reflect on is, how has God worked through others for you, and how can you work for him?
That microphone. Luke. I have, it seems like you're at an intersection, and I have two choices for you. You can take path number one, and on path number one, you will have lots of money, power, yachts, a few. Riz, I was told to say, and money, okay? Path number two, you are going to love your neighbor, and you're going to serve God and obey him. Which path are you going to choose?
Well, looking at these two paths, this money, this yacht, it sounds very enticing. I've never had those things, but I know that I won't feel fulfilled. I know that I'm off of God's path and going on my own. And mm-hmm. I really want to follow the path that God has for me. That's where I'm going to find happiness and purpose.
Good choice. This was written for us by Luke and Daniel. So what I'm saying is they're a paraphrase of their words in our practice. And they couldn't be here today. Reality 5 is, God's invitation is for you to work with him, and it always leads you to a crisis of belief that requires faith and action. We learned following Jesus sometimes requires trusting him before we understand everything, and we began to discover that faith requires trust. Faith is trusting what you know in the face of what you don't. Not my words. And Daniel's paraphrase is, while this path is a dying to self and a sacrifice and the narrow way, it is also the best way, And Daniel shared how important it is to be in community because of the joy. And he said it's so joyful to be in community together. So this way is also the way of the abundant life in Christ.
My goodness, this hike is so hard. I don't know how I'm going to continue. My backpack is so heavy and my back is going through so much strain.
Do you need some help?
Yeah, I'll take some help, actually. How would you guys even help me in the first place, though?
Okay, let's adjust this.
Okay, I need to adjust it. Okay. What are you guys doing? Why are you taking this stuff out of my backpack? Oh. That's perfect. That's perfect. Oh, okay. Wait. What do I do with this now that you took all my stuff out?
Put it in pockets.
Put it in my pockets. Okay. Okay, let's see. Okay, so I'll put this one. So I need to put it in my pocket. Well, now, how is this going to work? Because now my leg is going to go numb because it's all in my pocket.
Put in the other pocket so it could overbalance the weight.
Oh, okay, I see. So I need to put this one here, and now I need to put this here. Okay, so now the weight is more balanced, I suppose. Okay, so then now I get my backpack back. Here we go. All right, thank you, guys. I'll let you know how this works. Yeah, this is a lot better. Now my back is no longer strained. Thank you very much. Reality six is you must make adjustments in your life to join God in what He is doing.
We learned that following Jesus changes how we live, and we began to understand that following Jesus changes us.
Kind of a more personal story in my life is a part about growing up is the people and friends you make along the way. And people do change over time. I had a friend that actually introduced me into Christ, but the more we grew up, the more he kind of turned to worldly actions, which really hurt me. And I knew at that time I needed to make a pivot because I felt a calling from God to grow with him and his spirit. And I knew if I kept hanging out with that friend and participating in the actions he was doing, I would kind of go opposite of that path. And so the kind of important story, at first I kind of turned away from him completely and tried to distance myself, but God kind of brought to that my attention that that wasn't really the right option just to abandon him. I knew I needed to pivot in a way where I could still talk to him and show him the love and grace that God is making in my life and just do that adjustment, not abandoning him, but kind of helping him to repoint in life.
Well, if you listen to the first of this, I've been involved with this for 18 years now. First with Nick Pringle, he started us off. Mark Neely came along, and I'd been doing it a few years then when Mark came along. And Mark actually asked me, what is this confirmation stuff? And so I got to brief Mark on what we do with confirmation. But with 18 years, and you can see the age of our students, and I'm going to pick an average age of 15 there, that makes some of these guys in their 30s. I know at least one has become a father. I know another one that this month graduates from Top Gun School as an instructor. And I told these students, all of us, you know, you never stop being a student. That applies to all of us here. If we're following God, we want to follow Him and learn. We want to be obedient. We want to hear Him. I'm going to ask the students to come on up here as we finish this off.
I'll just do these two for a beginning. Yeah.
Okay. Well, you come to know God by experience. Well, I'm wobbly.
That's all right.
As you obey Him and He accomplishes work through you. Mm-hmm. So we learn from Him. We learn each day in this experience process. What God is doing, we obey Him. And that we begin to experience God as we walk with Him. That's the main thing I learned from this course, I think, is to find out what God's doing and join Him.
Amen. Thank you, Larry. Let's center ourselves a little bit. And then I have a question for you, friends, community. In the same way that the students have been working through this, I just want to sit with this for 1 minute together. Where is God already at work around us? How is God pursuing a relationship with you? Where is God inviting you to join him in what he is doing? How is God speaking to you? Where is God asking you to trust and make adjustments? And what adjustments might you need to make? Friends, in conclusion today, with Duncan and Grace here with me, on the stage, we're presenting our special confirmants. They have had, like I said earlier, extra work, and they did it, a deeper commitment to class and to attendance and to the retreat, and some Bible memory. So I'd like to invite them now to share the verse that they chose to memorize and share with you this morning.
I chose Psalm 23, and it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restoreth my souls. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his namesake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen."
Amen. Woo! Thank God.
My verse is Romans 8, 35 through 39, and it goes, "What can separate us from the love of God? Can affliction or persecution or distress or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, because of you, we are put to death all day long. We are counted as sheep for slaughter. No, in these things we are more than conquerors through whom he loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any created thing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord."
Whew. Amen. All right. Almost. Larry has two questions for you.
Okay, I'll start off with Grace. All right. How have you found God working in your life during this confirmation year?
Okay. I've seen and experienced God in so many personal and undeniable ways. I see him through his word, which continues to speak to me, guide me, and correct me exactly when I need it. I see him through his love for me, a love that has carried me through seasons that I couldn't have carried myself. And I experience God in, like, the ways he keeps me, he watches over me, and protects me. Even in the moments I didn't realize I need protection, I've seen his hands on my schoolwork, my schedules, and the responsibilities I'm juggling, giving me clarity, strength, and favor that would not have come from me. Mm-hmm. And I've also experienced his faithfulness in my family, especially in the most times that matters the most, the moments when we needed direction, comfort, breakthroughs. God has shown up consistently, proving that he is present and attentive and active and deeply involved in every details of our lives. Mm-hmm. Through all these experiences, I'm reminded that God is not distant. He's near, he's active, and he's always working behind the scenes for my good.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Grace.
Yeah, I'm going to ask Duncan the same question. How have you experienced God in your life this confirmation year?
I have seen God at work, less specifically for me, but in the other church that I go to, Belprez, over in Bellevue, I've seen God at work through pretty much everyone in the church, of where people from speaking all different languages, people of all different races and ethnicities can worship together, understanding what Jesus is in all of these languages and being able to worship together and learn about him.
Amen. So good. Thank you so much. Dodi and Larry would like to present you with something very special.
Well, I wrap this like I usually wrap my Christmas presents. This is it.
Duncan.
It's not unexpected, but it's interesting.
Yeah. Wow, Larry. Wow, that's amazing. Got some cats, kayaks, good stuff. Ooh, oh, wow, that's That is beautiful. Dodi has been lovingly making Afghans for our confirmation students for how many years? 13 years.
I haven't knit in 40 years and I came here and got into a knitting group.
Amazing. So I just again want to say thank you, Dodi. Thank you, Larry, for the pillars of strength and faith that you are in this community. We love you. Would our confirmation students come up? Kylie and Van, you can come back up. We're going to invite you to stand for a moment to reach your hand toward all these students. All of our discipleship students, come on up. And Larry will pray for us and pray over these students. And Pastor Kyle can say a prayer too, if you want. All right. Okay.
Pray with me.
Okay.
Thank you, Heavenly Father, for these students, for the year we've spent together, for all of us wanting to follow you. I ask your prayer and your guidance for them as they continue on their journey with you. Mm-hmm. Always keep you in the forefront. You will keep your hands on them. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Okay. All right. Good job, everybody. Okay. Thank you.